In this episode, we're talking with Kelly Roberts about her wild business, Wild Kidney, based in Sydney, New South Wales. This is the first episode in a series where we're going to focus on wild businesses around Australia and the globe.
Welcome to Raising Wildlings, a podcast about parenting, alternative education, and stepping into the wilderness, however that looks, with your family.
Each week, we'll be interviewing experts that truly inspire us to answer your parenting and education questions. We'll also be sharing stories from some incredible families that took the leap and are taking the road less travelled.
We're your hosts, Vicky and Nikki from Wildlings Forest School. Pop in your headphones, settle in, and join us on this next adventure.
Hello and welcome to the Raising Wildlings podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Farrell. Today we're speaking with Kelly Roberts, who is the founder of Wild Kidney in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. Kelly's an experienced early childhood educator, but knew early on in her career that her passion lay in alternative education. With a passion for the outdoors, she was attracted to nature pedagogy philosophy as a way to bring back childhood as she knew it and reconnect children with the natural environment. Her business, Wild Kidney, promotes children to naturally learn in an outdoor environment, no matter the weather. With an evolving program of risky and nature play, her children are growing into strong, confident, resilient and passionate learners. But before we hear from Kelly, we wanted to let you know that after some very gentle and loving pushing from some of you, our incredible family of listeners, that we have finally started our own Patreon page. Now, if you don't know what Patreon is, it's a way for content creators like ourselves to let our most passionate listeners support our creative work via a monthly membership. It's essentially a way for you to become active participants in our podcast. So we give you access to exclusive content, community, and insight into our creative process. There might be webinars or downloadables. And in exchange, with your help through the membership, we get the freedom to create our best work and the stability that we need to keep this podcast going. Like any membership, and you know us well, our entire philosophy, this is, of course, a choice. We 100% believe in freedom of choice above all else. So we will, of course, continue to produce this podcast for free as long as we are able to. The idea behind Patreon is simply that it allows the people who can and would like to support us to do so we can continue to create it for those that can't. Right now, we only have one level of membership as we begin to create the content for the next level. So currently, for the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can help support us. As we create more exclusive content, we'll open up more levels of membership with access to more content. And we will, of course, keep you posted as we learn more about it and create and grow from there. And we can't wait for you to join us on that journey. So to find us, just go to the Patreon website, that's Patreon, and search for Raising Wildlings, or you can head to the link in our show notes. But now let's meet Kelly. Hello and welcome to the show, Kelly. How are you today?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me.
Ah, my absolute pleasure. So we're going to get started by simply asking you all about Wild Kindy and your business. So can you tell us what Wild Kindy is?
Okay. So Wild Kindy offers nature-based experiences and workshops for children under 12 years old.
Nice. What kind of activities do you run in Wild Kindy?
Okay. So all of our activities are outdoors, no matter rain. We're outside, sunny, outside. So we're offering nature play sessions for under fives. We do like explorer sessions for our primary school, and we've got some beautiful eco workshops that we do for primary school age as well. So like botanical tie-dyeing, potion making, that kind of thing for our primary school kids.
Yeah, awesome. How long have you been running for?
Just on a year now.
Oh, gosh.
So still new.
Now, also, tell us about where you are and what's going on in life right now.
Okay. So we're based in Sydney. Mm-hmm. We've got sessions that normally would operate out of Ryde and Chatswood on the North Shore. But unfortunately, we've been locked down for 7, maybe 8 weeks now.
Ooh, you're in the time warp.
Yep, we're in the time warp. We're in the holding pattern. But we're ready to go as soon as we're allowed out and get these kids back into nature and learning again.
That must be incredibly frustrating knowing that, we can take kids outdoors and be healthy and getting fresh air and vitamin D, but that we can't right now.
It feels like it's a big shame because I feel like this is exactly what the kids are needing right now is to be outdoors, building, doing loose parts, doing some risky play, climbing a tree, but we're not allowed to.
Yeah, I think we were having a discussion off air just before and we were talking about the it can be hard when the areas are so grey, you know, the pool shops are open or the gaming shops are open because they're essential workers, but somehow our work.
That's right. Well, the tennis courts are open, but we can't go and build a den in the local reserve anymore.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's tough one. Yeah,
it is. Well, if we take out where you are right now, so a year ago, let's go back even further. So what was your career? What were you doing prior to starting up Wild Kindy?
So prior to this, I was working in early childhood. I'd gone from being in a room as an educator to probably more of an office in my management there. So
yeah,
that's kind of the foundation. So probably worked with, under fives for nearly 10 years now.
Wow, that's awesome. So what was the inspiration or was there a day or a moment where you're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start a nature play business.
Probably I did like a bush kindy course at Centennial Park, maybe March 2020. And then that was just with the thought to take it into early childhood center and then kind of lockdown happened. And that is exactly where I started to reflect about what was going on in the community. Like we had another three unit blocks going up. I started watching how much screen time our kids were having, how risk adverse like parents have become, and was just like, you know what, we need to get these kids back out and having that childhood that I had of the 80s.
Yeah, I know, isn't it? We've become that generation now. Back in my day.
Back in my day, I used to climb trees and ride my bike and come home in time for dinner, and that's what my kids are missing out on. So that's kind of what I've tried to recreate in Wild Kindy, is just a few of those experiences for them.
Yeah, it is. I think when we talk nature play, we give them, you know, there's nature pedagogy and there's all these, you know, edu-speak terms, but really we're just trying to let them have a free childhood.
That's it. That's it. We're putting out, like, invitations to inspire them. In the first few weeks they need those invitations, but by the end of the term that piece of rope is no longer just used for tug-of-war. They're building pulley systems and their imaginations have grown with the resources that are out there.
Yeah, so true. There's a huge growth, isn't there, even in just a term of attending a nature play program. Have you got any examples or anecdotes like that where you've had children come in that have perhaps been hesitant or worried or whatnot, and if they've changed, they've had a journey through your program?
I've had children that are on the spectrum, but the parents have been the ones that are nervous, but then they've come to the program and I wouldn't be able to necessarily pinpoint that straight away because they've just got this natural calm about them when they're outside and they're free to move. We've got kids that were hesitant to climb a tree, couldn't really calculate the risk of that. And then, you know, with a few simple techniques of climbing a tree, they're straight up there. They're loving it. That's the first place they run to before story time, up the tree, seeing how much higher they can get this week. So there's a lot of development that goes on for both the parent and the child.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. But quite often nature play programs are just as much for adults as the kids attending.
Yeah, learning to trust their kids' instincts.
Yeah. It's hard when so many programs and so much of the media that we get is about not trusting or, you know, risk and worry, and media is just in our ear all the time about danger, danger. But yeah, our kids we're critters, we're animals at our base senses, and we need to be outdoors.
That's right. We need to be outdoors. We need to learn to trust our instincts. And I think as a parent, we're just scared of the consequence of the inconvenience of what if we get injured, more than necessarily the trusting of our child's instincts.
Yeah, and kids get injured everywhere. They get injured whether they're riding their bikes or whether they're at an indoor. In fact, I've seen more injuries at indoor playgrounds.
Definitely.
Than I have in our forest kindy. So, yeah. Let's talk about what would you say makes you and wild kindy unique? And I'll give you a bit of premise behind this. So the idea behind this is, as you know, we're running a course called Wild Business, and part of our values behind that is in this industry, we're really trying to promote collaboration. We're really trying to promote networking amongst each other and building each other up. And if someone calls, as you know, people say to us, hey, Wildlings, do you know anyone down in Sydney? I'm like, yes, Kelly runs Wild Kindy. Please go and see her. And if she's not near you, then she'll know someone in Sydney that, you know, yeah, she can pass you on to. Because at our core, all of our businesses are simply about getting kids outdoors. So part of that collaboration was that there's room for everyone. To us, like, it doesn't matter if there's 100 nature play businesses in the Sydney area, greater Sydney area, because you'll be marketing yourself as you and Wild Kindy at Ride. It's so place-based and people-based that we should never see each other as competition. It should always be about collaboration and what makes us unique. So that's where that question comes from. So what would you say makes Wild Kindy unique in the nature play setting?
I guess we're very child-led in our program. So the resources evolve with the kids' ideas. So sometimes I'll be like, oh, what are you guys interested in this week? And the child will find the bug, and then that will kind of instigate next week, or a child suggests the bushwalk. So then we will go on a bushwalk, but we might add another element to that. So it could be like, I've got one kid that likes mapping, so we will try and draw a map, and then the kids will kind of lead on the bushwalk following a map. Mm-hmm. So it's very child-led. The programs, I guess, are designed for our area.
Can you talk to us about that? What do you love about Ride?
So our local reserve, it has lots to explore. So it's got so many wildflowers. It's got flat rock, which the kids love. It's got caves. We've got a creek. We've even rescued a baby turtle. So it's always evolving in our area. And the kids are starting to see the seasonal changes in that, which is also amazing to see that. So they could see that, you know, the wattle's coming out. That's a little bit earlier. So we start talking about how the temperature's changing. So just getting kids to be really aware about their local environment makes each nature play destination different.
Yeah. And what was the name of your other area, your other location?
Chatswood.
So what would you say the difference between the two locations are?
The difference with Chatswood, it's got more of a bit of a rainforest feel to that location. It's got different types of trees. So Ride's all about paper barks, whereas the other one is all about like blue gums. Chatswood has a fire pit, so we can add that element in for the winter months. So they're quite different in their landscapes.
Beautiful though, isn't it, that you can be so close and still have these completely different environments.
That's right. They're less than 10 kilometres apart and they're so different.
It's mad. We are so spoiled here. I remember when we did our forest leader training, our trainers just going, we can't understand why Australia isn't filled with forest schools or, you know, just nature play, essentially nature play businesses. And at school, like, your spaces are incredible. Your temperature is incredible. Why aren't these kids outdoors all the time? And I was like, well, we think we are.
We think we are, but I think with an early childhood background, we're also programmed that we don't take the kids outside between certain hours of the day. And I guess we get taught that from such a young age, that you retreat indoors in the middle of the day, the sun gets too hot. So it's about overcoming all of those little hurdles.
Yeah, it is, because in a nature play program, you can, can't say always because I can't generalize that, but there is always, just about always, shade, and you can always find those spaces to that kids will retreat. And their activity levels change too. If it is really hot, they're not playing those really strenuous, sweaty games.
No, they're not.
They tend to hibernate, you know, like European countries do. It becomes siesta time.
That's it. And children adapt. So I think it's more adults feel uncomfortable in those environments. Like, we'll see the adults are the ones looking for the gazebo somewhere in the reserve, whereas the kids are the ones that are dressed in their mud pants and they're out there looking for the biggest puddle or whatever they can explore.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go right back to the start when you were like, right, I've done this course, it's locked down, my brain's going off, like fireworks are going off. What was the hardest part about starting your business? Or was there something, some information that you found really hard to find? Or what was it that was either a block or just something that took a long time to get through?
The blocks that were really hard is Nature Play is still emerging in New South Wales.
Mm.
It seems to be very developed in Queensland and Victoria, even South Australia, but New South Wales. So trying to find regulations has been quite a big hurdle, and trying to find the right insurance to cover me for kids using tools, just taking kids on a bushwalk.
Yeah. Like,
by insurance standards, that's now classified as an adventure.
It's crazy, yeah, isn't it?
It is very crazy. So those are probably hours worth of looking, researching in the beginning.
Who was your what source? Or because, again, behind Wild Business, the idea is to try and put this all in one place for the whole of Australia and the globe. But was there a source or a person or a body or an organisation that you found really easy to work with that helped? Or was it literally you just going from point to, you know, website to phone call to?
So in the beginning, it was me going from like a CEQA, just trying to find out national regulations. I've gone through the Department of Education for school holiday programs. Just a lot of bouncing between departments and not quite fitting in to any of them.
Yeah.
Insurance took a lot of bouncing around between different departments until I found one that was willing to do tools with children under five, because I wasn't willing to sacrifice that.
Yeah, good on you. Woo!
So that was suggested many times. If you took away the tools element, we could insure you. And I was like, no, that's a major part of what I want to do.
That's my business. Yeah, that's my program.
That's it. That's how the kids are going to develop their fine motor skills, their STEM. It's all ingrained through those tools, so that wasn't negotiable for me.
That's what makes you unique as well.
That's it. And just watching kids that have no interest in numbers, but then all of a sudden the tape measure comes out and their number recognition grows and they're out there measuring things, seeing what things are level, how tall can they build something today. There's so much learning going on behind the scenes. So, yeah, probably insurance and just trying to find some form of regulations.
Yeah, I'd say that they're the most common questions for us as well. So, yeah, that's what we're trying to do, put it all in one place, which, again, isn't easy, but we're getting there.
It's not easy because there's no real national regulations in terms of Nature Play.
No.
For me, I just fall back on that early childhood background, and these are the ratios that seem to work in that setting. So let's just see and kind of start learning what works in the outdoors as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's until we've created, so I don't know if I've even mentioned this on the podcast, I can't remember, but we've started an Australian Forest School Association, which if you take forest school out of it, it's based on the philosophy, which is free play in nature, really. It's just getting kids outdoors in nature. So the aim behind that association as well is to try and get people like yourself in Sydney, people in Victoria and Northern Territory to come together to try and at some point in the future create an industry body that recognises and recommends those ratios, because like you said, at the moment we're just grasping at straws.
And that's it. We're kind of just bouncing off each other. So I talk with other Nature Play providers in Sydney. We have a coffee. We talk about what ratio they're using. We're all pretty similar because a lot of our backgrounds are early childhood. So we've all fallen onto that, and that's been a really good benchmark.
Yeah, well, despite us all not being childcare services, we need to follow those anyway, don't we, those regs and whatnot? Because
we don't fall into education, even though that's
what we do.
Kind of what we do. But according to the department and the national regs, we don't fall into that.
No.
So we fall into a recreational provider.
Yeah.
Which is very broad in terms of its ratios and.
Yeah, and we don't, because we're outdoor rec, our outdoor rec industry bodies are fantastic at providing, you know, activity guidelines for canoeing or hiking or whatnot, but not yet do we have suggested ratios and industry standards for nature play. So we're getting there. We're working towards it. And the more of us there are and the more of us that gather like this, and like you said, at the moment, we've all kind of have an industry standard because we're all chatting amongst each other.
It's got a really good community, yeah. I think, nature play businesses. It's not competitive.
No, I haven't found that at all.
You've really got a group of people out there with the best intentions for children and working together.
Yeah. And I think eventually that there will be. We'll be able to go to each of our outdoor rec industry bodies. We'll be able to go to a CEQA and there'll be a recognised standard for, and again, a standard is a standard. It's not a you have to do this. That's why even in a CEQA, like the childcare body here, is the ratios are fairly vague because I can't say for every program that it's 1 to 11 on an excursion, for example, because it totally depends on your location, whether there's water, your staff or qualifications, and, you know, if any children
depends on your children's
additional needs. So you can't put a figure on it anyway, but at least we could say with water we recommend these for this age with, you know, there's at least an industry standard. So
that's it. And as long as we're all working towards best practice,
exactly,
then that's the main thing.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting that we're growing big enough that this is becoming obvious to the industry that it's needed. So, you know, we're working with insurance companies at the moment that are tailoring packages specifically for nature play businesses now because they finally understand
where we fit. I've noticed that in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
12 months ago there was so much explaining to do, and then I've changed insurance companies and out came like a form specifically for nature play. I was like, wow, you know what I'm doing.
And that's because we're here and we're making noise and we're saying, why am I filling out this 20-page document that's not relevant for me?
Why am I filling out a childcare form?
Yeah, that's right. You know, yes, I follow all these, you know, childcare regulations and whatnot, but I'm still technically don't fit in that zone. So it's good. It's changing and it's because of crazy little businesses, stubborn little mules like us, Kelly.
Keep plodding away.
That's it. Every small step makes a difference. So what is the best part about owning your own nature play business?
I guess I've created a business that I love, that I'm truly passionate about and itching to get back to. So I've never had that before. Where you've gone on holidays and you're itching to get back. I've never had that.
I'm
itching to get out there with those kids. And it's kind of provided like almost like a play group for older kids. So you get so many people moving to our community, but they're still out there trying to meet people. And it's created that environment where they're just connecting, they're slowing down with their kids, they're enjoying being outdoors, and they've made time for it.
So good.
So that's really nice.
How are you finding the business side of things? What's the best part about the actual running of a business, and what's the hardest part about running a business?
The best part about it is I've been able to create something that works to my family's schedule. So I can plan it around like my daughter's school hours, around her school holidays. We can do things. So that's part of the reason why a school holiday program emerged, because she was like, but me and my friends want to do stuff like this. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's how like primary school kind of came into it as well. So just evolving with what the children are asking for has been a blessing to watch.
So good. And what's been the hardest part business-wise? Actually, take lockdown out of it.
Take lockdown out of it.
Okay. Other than lockdown.
Probably growing has been challenging to keep up with the demands but still keep my vision in check, to not grow too fast, to keep it organic and to do it at the pace that's right for me and for my family has been quite a challenge, because sometimes it feels like I'm putting the brakes on a little bit.
But
the next leap for growth will come.
Absolutely. And you've got to be in the right frame of mind, and it's stepping stones, isn't it? Like you can leap 5 forward, but you might stumble back 1 or 2. It's, you know, if you just keep that slow and steady.
If it's not the right time for my support network, then it's not going to work for me either.
Yeah, and then staffing too. You know, it takes time to train good staff. It takes time to find decent staff too.
That's it.
Yeah, that understand what we do, because, again, we have a lot of people that are really interested from the childcare industry, but not all of them work out. Some do.
Some do. Some have fallen into the childcare, the childcare box, and they know how it works.
It's hard to leave the safety of what is known, I think, because that's, I was going to say the safety of childcare, but we are so safe and our, you know.
It is really safe, but they're so, just the, even some of the words they use, that's totally different. Their supervision approach is very different.
Yeah.
I like to tell my staff that we like to use the hummingbird approach. So we're always watching, but we're not encroaching on a child's space unless we're invited. So unless they specifically ask me for help, I'm not going to jump in and show them how to do it. I want to see that process of them working it out.
That's where the learning comes from and the growth. You know,
that's it.
Kids are very good at asking us if they need help, but otherwise.
Yeah, it's just waiting for the if.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about the benefits for your community? What have you seen from starting your business? What are the benefits to RIDE and to, I keep forgetting, Chatswood?
Yeah. So the benefits I've seen is just the community coming together. So people that maybe never had met, like would have met before, but they're so aligned with all their beliefs as well. New relationships and friendships starting up. I've got people exploring pockets of their LGA that they never even knew existed.
So good.
You've got all these beautiful reserves around Sydney and people just don't know they're there.
Do you think by doing what you do and being so calm in that nature space too, are you giving people permission to explore themselves, or are you taking the fear out of being in nature? What is it that's giving them kind of that tick box and that permission to go, oh, God, yeah, I can do that and take my family down?
I think there's a lot of confidence that comes with it. So yeah. I was quite blown away. We did a bushwalk. We went on a bear hunt maybe last term that we were operated, and out of the 15 families that were there, 10 of them had never been on a bushwalk.
Oh, wow. See, this is what I mean by Australia thinking we're the outdoors nation.
That's it. But then I started to look at my families and just started to realize that a lot of them are only first generation Australians. So there's a lot of learning about our environment for them and for their families. So for them, they think they're going to see snakes everywhere, but they're not. So until we show them that side of it, they're still quite scared.
That's amazing. So
a lot of families now that are sending me beautiful photos of their kids building dens on bushwalks and stuff during lockdown. I'm like, oh, they're all out there doing it now, and it's become second nature to them.
Yeah, rather than just going to the playground, the same playground. And look, again, at least you're outdoors and you're moving your body. Like if you're choosing playground over being at home, take the playground. But there's so much more to find and explore when you go bush.
But even watching kids now just not pick the playground, they'll go find that little piece of nature strip next to the park is quite amazing to watch. Like, oh, there's a swing, but I could make this over there. It's quite amazing to see how they've evolved to that style of play.
And the permission for parents to allow that too. Like, oh, that's an okay thing to do, and you'll be safe, and to be safe around snakes if you do see a snake.
Well, that's it. And there's a lot of embedded safety practices that go on at Wild Kindy. So we always start with like a welcome song, and embedded in that is what would you do if we see a spider or a snake or a goanna. Like, it's all put in there, but in a very playful way, so that when it happens, the kids kind of know what to do.
Perfect. And knowledge is power, or empowerment, I should say. Ripple effect, you know, you've done that for this generation of kids. So now we hope that their kids will be able to feel safe and explore the bush and get those benefits of being in the fresh air and feeling a sense of safety and being a part of a place instead of fearful of a place.
That's it. There's a connection that comes with them. So them being able to see their environment evolve over the seasons. So they're starting to get that connection and that love for it. So hopefully maybe in a decade, they'll be able to protect it when they're mature enough to realize it. They can go out there and look after it.
And that's the cycle, isn't it? We would generate these little ripple effects. And I think this is why for us, you know, not just Wild Business, but the podcast, it's about we can't, nor do we want to, be everywhere, you know. And it's so important because it is so place-based, but it's also person-based. Like it how is. You run your kindy would be so very different, you know, same but different to how we would run it. And that's perfect and beautiful. Yep. And that's how it should be because it's your community. So
that's it. To pick a place where you live and to do it for your community makes it much more special because you know your demographic.
Yeah.
You know what your surrounds are like. You know how many kids are being brought up in units or
And you know your history as well and your the Indigenous history there as well and you can bring all that in. Whereas if we were kind of overreaching and saying, oh, hey, we're going to start over here and, you know, it would have to take someone like yourself to be, hey, I'm here, can I have support? Mm-hmm. That's completely different to running it. You know, you imagine a franchise of Nature Player. It just wouldn't work.
I don't think it would work. You would need somebody in each destination that lives there.
Yeah.
To do it and then you're literally just providing support.
Yeah, I think it needs to be the passion needs to come from a person within. It needs to be I see a need.
It's all about connection. Yeah. Connection with people, connection with nature.
Yeah, totally. So I'm super excited to just see I feel like there's new ones popping up all the time and it gets me giddy. I'm just like, oh, more kids outside.
They're popping up in Sydney. They're popping up on the south, you know, around the mountains, central coast. They're coming.
Good. And, you know, and our urban areas need the most. And not to say, you know, there's been some really good research on how often rural children get outdoors and it's actually not that much different to our urban kids, which shocked me,
that's
to be
surprising.
Frank. Yeah, they definitely get out more, but I thought there would be I thought it'd be 50% more or whatnot. But kids are still in school and then they come home and they've still got homework and they've got chores and, you know, when we're at home at night, most of us are sitting down and watching TV or something. So a normal human day in a typical Western world is still very indoors focused no matter where you are. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So everyone needs it, which is great.
That's it.
All right. Are you ready for some rapid fire questions, Kelly?
Sure.
All right. What's your favorite book of all time? Or if that's too hard, what are you currently reading?
Okay. So I'm currently reading Balanced and Barefoot.
That's a goodie.
Yep. So that's the current lockdown book.
Any takeaways there at the moment?
So what's really resonating with me is active free play. That concept of a child choosing when to play, how to play, the risk that's involved in their play, and just not having an adult involved in telling them how to play. Because once they're engaged in that play, it goes for hours.
Yeah.
And they're so intricate.
It is, isn't it? The layers of the imagination of the games that they create or the worlds that they create. I can't keep up when my kids are trying to tell me about them.
No, my daughter has a game and it's got levels. And it's a game that they play at school every day, but each day just adds another level to it. It's quite fascinating.
It really is. Like the socialization in that and the development of the communication and negotiation skills and creating their own social hierarchy, which those levels would do.
They all have their roles. They've all got their place. They've all put their little bits of design elements into the game. They have to negotiate what happens next. Yeah, very intricate.
They're amazing. That book's by Angela Hanscom too for everyone listening, but we'll pop that in the show notes as well. All right, where do you go or what do you do to reset after a rough day? Outside of lockdown.
So during lockdown we go to the nearest bush reserve, go for a bit of a walk. The kids always build a den without a doubt. If we could travel outside of our LGA, we go to the beach. There's something for us really refreshing about just jumping into the ocean and resetting as a family. It works for us.
We had our 1 week lockdown, which I can't even, won't even go into that because I feel awful even just saying that to you guys at the moment. But same, it's funny how when you can't have something, I had this itch, this utter itch to get to the beach, despite having all, like, same as you, beautiful bushland, heaps of places to go within my 10K radius.
I didn't want to jump into the river. I wanted to jump through a wave.
Yeah. I want to be cleansed.
It really was that feeling of, like, I need to dive through the wave and reset.
Yeah. So it's funny, isn't it, how, we have those, are they instincts, you know?
I don't know. It is a cleansing feeling.
Does our body know that we need that to reset our central nervous system? I don't know. Or is it just that I want what I can't have?
Because I crave it. I crave it more during the lockdown.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too.
Despite the temperature, I would do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a bit of Wim Hof. It's got to be good for us, isn't it? If you had to choose just one thing to change about the education system, what would it be?
One thing. Put more of the focus on it being outside.
Yep.
It can still have the structure of the curriculum, that's fine, but let kids do it outside in the environment. They absorb more when they're moving.
Yeah, they do.
If they don't have to sit still, they will absorb that information for so much longer.
Yeah, there's research on that too, proving, you know, that they – that's why you get the kids with the jiggly knee or the pen tappers. the spinners, the chair swingers. Yeah.
You can ask a child, they can remember everything from a school excursion because they're out, they're doing, but you put them back in the classroom, they don't retain it.
It's also that emotional regulation, like they're resetting their vestibular system. They're trying to reset their central nervous system by making that movement. So when we're making them sit, it actually, it's bottling it up.
It's not block it. Yeah, it starts to block their brain. So it's really fascinating.
It's fascinating that we still do these things when there's research telling us not to.
Telling us to do the opposite.
Quote, unquote, fascinating / frustrating. Is there anyone you would say, whether it was from childhood or in your career as an educator, that's inspired you to lead, or like to head into a nature play business?
For me, I think it's just my family in general. Immediate family and my extended family, we have all grown up camping. We still every Easter go bush camping as an extended family, so about 30 of us still go. So for me, it's embedded into my lifestyle, which has come from my family. Most of us did scouts growing up, so just that outdoor living is instilled in me. So
I'm thinking about this. I'd love to do a study on nature play educators. I wonder how many of us were camping kids. I wonder if it's camping or if it was outdoor activities or, you know, a lot of us grew up on farms as well or rural acreage or something. Like, I wonder
if that's where it comes from, because through camping you don't have any toys or anything. So you have to make up your own games. You have to build a swing if that's what you want to do. You have to build a rope swing to fly into the river. It's all, you're just doing it. You're making your own fun.
And you have that safety and security because you've got your whole family and you've got your extended family there. So it's a place of love as well.
That's it.
There's so your so memories much trust. Of those places. Yeah.
Yep. It almost becomes like a part of you, like you learn as a kid how to light the fire, but how to do it safely. It's all, you get to cook with your family around that. So it's all really embedded into who you are at such a young age that you don't really notice how much of a part of you it was until you're an adult.
Any university lecturers out there that want to do a study, let us know. We'll be in. And where can we find out more about a wild kindy, Kelly, to finish off? Tell us where we can find you.
So we are on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Wild Kindy, and we also have a website, wildkindy.com.au.
So good. I love that you've got all nice, neat handles. It's not easy, can I tell you that?
Yep. That was pretty important when I was starting.
Very. Note to self, when starting a business, find short, sharp handles
with punchy.
The same grammatical punctuation throughout.
Secure that first.
Yeah, exactly. Do that before anything. Amazing. And is there anything else you'd like to add or talk about or about your business before we go?
No, just get out there and have some fun. Start exploring.
Yeah, love it. Simple as. Simple. Thanks so much for coming on. I hope lockdown ends for you soon and you can get outdoors more and go get that wave smashing through you, cleansing you. We really appreciate it, and I'm just so I can't tell you how many years people have been emailing us about what's on in Sydney and is there anything in Sydney. Please tell me there's something in Sydney. So when I first saw your business, I was like, yes, finally somewhere to send people.
We're here. There's operators in Sydney now.
So good. It's so needed, and I think as you're selling out, aren't you, like prior to lockdown?
Yep, we have a wait list, but hopefully next year we'll have more time, more educators.
Yeah, which is great. That's what I mean. Like there's such a need for it. People want it. So I'm just so glad that there's people like you that are navigating all those regs and insurances and doing it anyway. You know,
it takes time to find
where we fit. Yeah, but you're there and you did it and look at the ripple effects that you're making. So thanks from your community, I'm sure.
Thank you.
It's always so inspiring talking to other like-minded change makers who've had to navigate similar roadblocks that we have and have come out the other end seeing the benefits that Nature Play programs can bring to the children and families in their community. The ripple of such programs absolutely cannot be underestimated in their importance in helping raise our next generation of environmental stewards and community members, the ones that are actually going to care for and protect our planet. How can you learn to love something you don't know or experience? At its essence, this is what all nature play programs and businesses are about, getting to know our local nature space so that we learn to love it and want to protect it. That's a pretty cool reason to get out of bed in the morning, I think anyway. And if you're like Kelly and unfortunately half of our country at the moment, locked down and looking for a little inspo to get your family outside to get to know and love your local nature space, why not head to wildlingsforestschool.com/free-downloadables to get your free nature scavenger hunt printable. There's a bunch of other printables there as well that are really great for those times when you can't explore far from your own backyard. We hope you discover some cool new critters or find some awe or joy or simply some stillness and calmness in what has been a pretty crazy time in the world this week. Until then, big hugs and stay wild.